Welcome, warriors. We're back for part two of our autism journey. For this episode, Tristan and I combined inputs, so it would truly represent each side of our story. As I mentioned last week, I really want his voice to flow throughout this episode, even though he declined to be recorded. And on a side note, I honestly don't understand why he won't let himself be recorded, because he live streams on his YouTube channel, and that includes his voice and his face. But I guess what this shows is that while I understand a lot more about autism now, I still have a lot to learn. There are things I perceive as being the same, and yet he sees them as being completely different. Grab a tissue. Let's look at autism in my household, how I was introduced to the word, what it looked like 15 years ago, and what it looks like now. Let's rock. Does your past haunt you? Maybe you're in a storm that feels like it will never end. Are you fighting a battle that's rendering you hopeless? Maybe you feel like you're fighting alone, but your battle was not meant to be a solo endeavor. You were meant to be a warrior among warriors. My name is Heather, and I grew up thinking my battles were nobody's business until I found myself in an abusive marriage and felt cut off from all avenues of help. In this podcast, you will hear warriors' words. They will tell you of their battles, both won and lost, their journeys, and their lessons learned along the way. But we don't stop there. These warriors will share how they have applied those lessons to go from warrior to survivor to thriver. Whether it's an abusive marriage, illness, mental health crisis, or any number of traumas this world dishes out, these warriors will use their words to help you find the beauty in your broken, move beyond your battles, and become the thriver God created you to be. Pick up your sword or boxing gloves and join the battle. Your words are powerful, my friends. Make them warrior words. Welcome back to the Warrior Words Podcast. This may be a longer solo episode, so let's jump right in with our review of the week. This one is from Centipede for Life. Words that need to be spoken. Congrats on starting this. Not everyone has the courage to speak up on past trauma. I look forward to seeing what you have in store for the future. Keep up the good work and fight the good fight. I appreciate this review so much. Thank you, Centipede. Thank you for acknowledging the courage it takes to share past traumas. So we apply these words to all the guests who bravely come on this podcast and share their stories with all who listen. We will all keep fighting. Would you like me to read your review on an upcoming episode? Please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review for the show. Your comments and star ratings help people find the Warrior Words podcast, and it only takes a few minutes of your time, and it would help us so much. Thank you. Now, would you also like to be a Warrior Words insider? Insiders get weekly emails with episodes and videos, and they'll be the first to know about all things new. Get on the list at subscribepage.io/pearls of wisdom. And that link is in the show notes. So as an example, my insiders heard last week that we are starting to add some video versions of some of the episodes of the Warrior Words podcast to the Warrior Words YouTube channel. Up till now, we've just been having the audio pushed into YouTube, but now we are, thanks to Tristan, we are able to start putting some of the episodes in video format. Now, not all of them will be there. I didn't record myself in video for my solo episode, so those will not make it in. Maybe one, I don't remember. But we'll start rolling those out. The first one is already up there. So you just go to youtube.com and /, and then the @ symbol, and then Warrior Words. So please watch the videos, even the audios that are there, and subscribe to the channel. Now, onto this week's show. And I want to give you a short recap of last week's episode, but please go listen to the full episode so you get the whole scoop. So Tristan was born under extremely difficult circumstances. He had some sleep issues and was diagnosed with multiple allergies at a very young age. I do not claim that any of these or even a combination of these caused his autism. There is no definitive cause of autism as of the recording of this episode in 2024. So let's start this one with chapter one. We'll pick up with Tristan around age five. My husband and I had agreed that I would homeschool any children that we had, starting with, you know, the simple things that that you learn in preschool and kindergarten. Tristan seemed very intelligent, and he seemed to really love learning. And he picked up anything math related really, like, almost instantaneously. He was a math whiz. I remember being so impressed with how well he understood numbers, you know, like the order of operations, shapes, all of that stuff. But when we got to something we called copy work, though, it was a completely different story. The idea behind copy work is to help with hand-eye coordination, penmanship, spelling, grammar, sentence structure, and then familiarity with the beauty of the English language. So I would include quotes from famous people, songs, poems, Bible verses, all those kinds of things. And, you know, it was usually only a sentence or two at a time. So while Tristan would do page after page of math problems, it was a struggle to get him to write words and sentences. And his penmanship was awful. It still is, actually. And he fought me. He fought me on this task every single time. At first, admittedly, I took it as disobedience, and I would get frustrated with him. I couldn't figure out why he was so willing and so proficient at one thing, and then so stubborn about another. So in this episode, we're going to do a couple pauses for Tristan's words. So Tristan says he remembers the copy work and says that he just couldn't see the purpose behind it, and he couldn't find a reason for copying sentences. And because he couldn't see the reason, he didn't think he should have to do it. Okay, in a certain light, I do. I understand where he's coming from. And this is a thread that has permeated our lives ever since. However, at that time, with no knowledge of anything autism related, I was approaching this as a necessary skill to learn to be a functioning member of society. And oh, how both my thinking and the definition of functioning member of society both have changed over the years. All right, so chapter two. One day, a friend of mine who had observed him playing on a couple of occasions asked me if I had had him evaluated for autism. I told her I didn't even know what that was. So she suggested that I call my pediatrician and get him scheduled for an appointment. So what was the first thing I did? Was it to call the pediatrician? No, of course not. That wouldn't be me. The first thing I did was look it up online. And yes, I can hear a few of you groaning right now. Now we know that's not the wisest thing to do. But back then, I just wanted to know what this autism thing was and why my friend saw it in my son. As a first-time mother, I had no previous children to compare him to. So an internet search was, I thought, my best course of action. And as you may have heard in episode 10 with Wendy Hooten, it was not. What I discovered was that autism was once referred to as bad mother syndrome. How I wish I could remember that source, but I honestly probably didn't even pay attention Didn't even consider who or what that source was. I was just devastated by that phrase. And I don't think I remember anything else about what I read that day, except that phrase, bad mother syndrome. And because of that, there was no way I was calling the pediatrician now. So my next move was to go to the library and read through the autism section of DSM-4. And in case you're not familiar with DSM, that means Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. In it, they list the various disorders and their diagnostic criteria. And I cautiously looked up autism. The way it's laid out, the DSM lists a criteria and then several characteristics that define the criteria. I guess it's criterion, isn't it? Anyway, usually it says something like, must exhibit 4 out of the following 6 characteristics for any particular diagnosis. Doesn't have to be 6, but that's the one I remember. I don't remember how many criteria I actually read about, but I remember being relieved when I found one, only one, where he and his behaviors did not check all the boxes. I wrote it all down and went home. And then I called the pediatrician. But the pediatrician's office didn't do these kinds of diagnoses. I would have to call a facility that specialized in autism. We were in Maryland at the time and were referred to the Kennedy Krieger Institute. Since we are doing this episode on Tristan's autism, it should be no surprise that this is an organization that basically became a significant part of our family. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I called to schedule an evaluation, and instead of an appointment, we were put on a waiting list, a 6-month waiting list. I was not happy about that, but what could I do? They were the only game in town. And apparently this autism thing was bigger than I had imagined. There were many families also waiting to find out if their child was part of the autism spectrum. I want to pause for a moment for a quick commercial break, one that will cost you nothing. If you don't already know, I have a YouTube channel that is an extension of Warrior Words. It's called Beauty in the Broken. In my episodes, I try to discover or share something beautiful that may be present in or arise out of the broken circumstances we experience. The same can happen through art. In fact, art therapy is commonly used for many mental health situations. So I invite you to go to YouTube. Different channel this time, but YouTube, type the @ symbol in the search bar, and then followed by the words, there's beauty in the broken, and no spaces between the words, and theirs is T-H-E-R-E-S, no apostrophe either. So you could watch some of the videos, and if you like them, please subscribe to the channel. Let it be the art therapy for whatever is happening in your life right now. The channel is also going to be listed in the episode description. So now we'll get back to Tristan's story. We finally got our appointment at Kennedy Krieger, and they administered a standardized test called the ADOS, A-D-O-S, which stands for Autism Diagnostic Observation Schedule. And yes, I am aware that this acronym has other meanings, but for the purpose of this episode, we are referring to the original autism diagnostic test. So I was able to watch the test. As they administered it, I got to sit behind a 2-way mirror. And I noticed 2 things as I watched. He didn't make hardly any eye contact with the woman who was administering the test. And he, while compliant to her instructions, basically just did his own thing. I don't know how really to explain it, but it was kind of like, yes, he did what he was told, but he did it in a way that was Tristan, as opposed to something more typical actions. So But after the administration of that test, they came back with the diagnosis, Asperger's syndrome and pervasive developmental disorder, NOS, which means not otherwise specified. These are no longer individual diagnoses. Somewhere along Tristan's journey, they were merged into a single diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder. This episode would be hours long if I were to go into all the characteristics of each of these, so I will leave it up to you to go look them up if they interest you. Suffice it to say, my friend was right to suggest having him evaluated. I went from being completely ignorant of autism to being a mama bear. Shortly after his diagnosis, I was in our new social worker's office, and he optimistically told me that kids like Tristan are sometimes able to learn enough to live and function on their own as adults. I remember staring at him with my mouth agape. I mean, I hadn't even thought about the possibility that my son may never leave home as an adult. I remember another conversation that started out about the concept of putting a label on Tristan and how it would hinder his chances of getting a driver's license or choosing to enter the military. And while I still don't like labels per se, that social worker helped me to see that having the official clinical diagnosis opened doors for services that would benefit him. And it closed doors for things that would not be safe for him. Our world became very different after that. There were appointments with social workers and therapists on a regular basis. Connections were made between his allergies and his newly diagnosed asthma. He would later add ADHD and generalized anxiety disorder to his list of diagnoses, as well as a struggle with executive functioning and sensory processing. I once joked with him that if we put all the acronyms for all of his diagnoses after his name, he'd have more than the most educated person on the planet. Again, I'm not going to go into all of those things, but I want to share three things that define some of that for us, for Tristan, for our family. So Tristan loved routines, and he still does. He played a certain way. We called it making parking lots with his cars. And he ate a certain way. Quesadillas and apples had to be cut into 8 slices or he wouldn't eat them. I still don't know where the 8 came from, but it was the same for both foods. Another thing was and is his clothing choices. He will only wear certain fabrics and rejects others simply based on the way they make his skin feel or they feel on his skin. Thus, his wardrobe is jeans and t-shirts, sweats, hoodies. I know, the wardrobe of 99% of all teenage boys, right? But the difference is that he can't handle how other fabrics feel. And the last thing is something I think many people associate with people on the autism spectrum, and that is something called hyperfixations. So for Tristan, his first one was Lego. I bought him one set when he turned 6, and we have never looked back. So many times I spent hours in Target or Walmart or even the Lego store, feeling those poly bags of minifigures because he refused duplicates. Oh, my fingers got to work out, y'all. And over the years, he's had other fixations, such as the Cars movie. The Cars movies, because there was a series, video games, music, and animated movies. So I also want to give a shout out to an organization that was so helpful for us for many years. And that was Pathfinders for Autism. And if you are in the Baltimore area, They are a fantastic resource. Please look them up. So Tristan's words. Tristan reminds me that he always hated all types of therapy and claims that they never work. His only explanation for the number 8 in his foods is that it looked nice. Yes, I definitely remember his hatred of therapy sessions. It didn't matter what type it was. He was not interested. I often wondered, how they got therapy lessons to stick when some of the participants had absolutely no interest in being there or learning what was being taught. He did make individual therapies. He made them work, and he also did group therapies. I think the group therapies were the ones he hated the most, probably because they had other kids and his social and communication skills by definition were not very good. There were a couple groups that were focused on helping him make friends, helping him to communicate and to learn life skills. And while he may not see it, I do believe that there were some positive outcomes. On to chapter 3. For his education, I continued to homeschool him, and he surpassed all the standards. I never got him interested in writing things down, and his penmanship has never improved. But one notable thing about his writing was that he had a hard time leaving spaces between his words. So I had to learn to decipher where words began and where they ended. And sometimes that was easier than others. His sister was, and still is remarkably, 18 months younger. It's odd how that works. I homeschooled most subjects, though, on the same grade level. And one notable difference would be the math, because Tristan always excelled in the math, whereas math was not his sister's strong suit. She had other giftings, other strengths. So, but she got involved in some activities outside of the home with her other strengths, and that led me to explore putting her in a high school. So when she was in 8th grade and he was in ninth grade, according to the traditional metrics or markers, we started looking at schools. And I got it in my head that Tristan would benefit from being around some of his peers. I was both right and wrong in this thinking. We ultimately settled on an all-girls private school for her and an all-boys private school for him. His school offered a program for students with learning challenges. We had a more difficult time than we should have getting an IEP, which is an individualized education program, due to the fact that I had homeschooled him. But we eventually got a set of conditions or accommodations put in place to help him thrive in his new school setting. But here's the thing we struggled with the most. One of the requirements was that he was the one that had to tell the teacher that he was entitled to these accommodations in order for them to be put into place. We didn't have the option to give permission for the program administrator to inform the teachers. It was something Tristan had to do for himself. So basically, we're telling a kid who struggles with social interaction and communication that he has to get up, go to the teacher's desk, and communicate that he gets to have things like extended time or special seating or even quiet rooms for testing. He felt awkward enough as it was. He was too embarrassed to go up to the teacher and single himself out. As a result, most of his teachers did not give him these accommodations until after parent-teacher conferences, when perhaps a certain parent may have made them known. His 3-year high school career had ups and downs, like most high school students. His lows included being bullied, all 6+ feet of him. Some of it being general stuff, and some of it being bad enough to have to involve the administration. But I want to focus on the highs. His gym teacher was the varsity football coach, and he suggested that Tristan would be a good manager for the team. Despite Tristan having zero interest in sports, much to the chagrin of his sports-loving mama, he did agree to be one of the team managers for his junior and senior years. The first year, he mainly filled water bottles and put equipment together, but he truly became part of the team. There were two young men who became his friends, and they looked out for him. I will never forget those two. They made this mama's heart swell. In senior year, the team took notice of Tristan's affinity for tech, and he was promoted to team videographer and videoed every single game, even in the rain. And there were two really rainy games, y'all, and he was soaked, but he did it. He still didn't really like football, but he learned a little and was dedicated to his team. He even did a little dance every time the team scored a touchdown. I absolutely loved watching it, and I would be the person in the stands yelling, "Score a touchdown! We want to see Tristan do a dance." So in the end, it paid off for him, though. At the end of the year, they had a sports assembly for all of the sports throughout the entire school year. And they called Tristan up on stage and awarded him manager of the year across all those teams, so many sports teams. And he was the manager of the year. Talk about a proud mama moment. But I want to mention something else about that football team. I mentioned earlier about some bad stuff that required the involvement of the admin. One day I was talking with the vice principal, who had taken to checking on Tristan after that incident. They had developed a sign in the hallway so Tristan could, you know, kind of let him know if things were okay or not, you know, without being called out. This man told me one day that a few of the members of the football team started joining Tristan's table for lunch. He had always eaten alone. He didn't talk much, but they silently, with their presence, let him know that he didn't have to be alone. And I heard through the grapevine later on, when that one specific bad bullying event occurred, that several of the guys on the team vowed that if anything else happened to Tristan, they would personally take care of the offender. Now, I don't condone violence, and I don't advocate for breaking school rules. But the fact that these young men were willing to fight to protect my son still makes me tear up. There are good people in this world, y'all, and some of them are teenage boys. Okay. So here are two other good things that happened in Tristan's high school career. He was nominated and accepted into the National Honor Society. And he graduated after moving up from that program for students with challenges. He took some of the top tier classes and graduated with those on his record. Not only that, he was accepted to 10 colleges and universities, one of whom was a big name school that actually pursued him. Did these acceptances have anything to do with maybe their inclusion policies? Maybe. I'd be lying to myself if I assumed otherwise. But he had the grades and the extracurriculars that schools seek. And so my young man was heading off to college. Big mama smile. We found a very small school that specialized in the arts. It had a total of 3 buildings. And for the most part, Tristan would only have to navigate 2 of them. He was given similar accommodations under similar circumstances as those in high school. 3 years later, and they still expected someone with difficulties in communication to be responsible for communicating these to the professors. But he did well. He lived at home because he didn't want to live in school housing. We made it work. He has now completed a university education. Another proud mama moment. When I think back to that conversation with the social worker after his diagnosis, I have to smile. That prognosis felt so bleak. But that young boy, he worked hard and he accomplished so much more than they predicted he would. Which brings us to chapter 4. What does autism look like in our home today with Tristan as a young adult? But first, Tristan's words. He reminds me of his previous comments about copy work. He never understood why he had to attend school at all. He didn't see the purpose of several of his classes or the assignments in those classes. Especially in today's world. He asks if I remember what one of his professors said about his portfolio. Yes. Yes, I do. Like I said, this thread has permeated our lives ever since. And Tristan, if he doesn't see the point in something, he doesn't deem it worthy of devoting his time to it. It may have led to more than a few arguments over the years. And what his professor said about his portfolio was that any prospective employer in his field would first look at his portfolio. And the second thing that employer would do is look at his portfolio. And then the third thing, you guessed it, look at his portfolio. So Tristan uses this to argue as to why he needed to take this course or that course. Again, a few more arguments. But in the end, he wound up with a well-rounded education and a nice portfolio. I call that a win-win. And remember those hyperfixations I mentioned earlier? Well, a couple of those have paid off. His animation fixation, well, that was the focus of his college major. And his music was an undeclared minor. Well, he has not sought employment that would require someone to look at his portfolio. He basically puts that portfolio on display for all the world to see as a YouTuber. He animates, he composes music, he live streams about both of those things. Plus, his hatred of His hatred of physical writing has not deterred his creative writing. He now uses a keyboard, one of those accommodations from early on. He uses a keyboard to get his creative ideas down, and this adaptation has helped him express his thoughts and create stories and characters the world will hopefully know, love, and love to hate in the near future. He never did pursue that driver's license or military career. And I'm okay with that. Okay with both of those. And he has no plans to leave home. In fact, he once told me that he was going to get married and live in my basement for the rest of his life. I told him two things in response. One, he had to get comfortable talking to girls first. And two, not too many girls want to live with their mother-in-law. So I think he's rethinking that one now. But that doesn't mean that we're not working on his life skills. I've had a bout with cancer, and you can listen to that story in episode 3. And I was hospitalized and close to intubation in 2021. So I'm trying to instill the idea in his head that I'm not immortal and will eventually leave. I don't do this to scare him. Well, yeah, maybe in one respect I do. But I want him to be prepared as humanly possible. You know, for the inevitable time that he will have to manage much more on his own. We're considering alternatives, but I want him to consider what life on his own might look like and what he needs to learn or develop accommodations for in order to make that possible. So for now, he lives with me and he works on his YouTube channel. He earns money through AdSense and something YouTube has called Super Thanks, so people can tip him for his videos and his live streams. He also sells other digital items on Ko-fi, and that's K-O-F-I. In fact, he's the one that introduced me to Ko-fi and the reason I have a Ko-fi shop as well. So it is his dream that he can earn a living between his original stories and characters and these other online means. If you feel so inclined, please feel free to join him on YouTube, in his Ko-fi shop. I know he would be truly appreciative. So this is a good arrangement. We keep each other company and it's never dull. There's always something new to discuss or hyperfixation that he can info dump about. He has a sympathetic ear in me. And in fact, we were driving home from church one day and he started looking at all the signs and he told me every single font, the name of every single font that businesses used on their signs. That happened on April 1st and we were driving back from church and I joked with him. I said, "Hey, World Autism Day isn't until tomorrow." And he laughed. We get to share those Tristan-isms, those autism-isms. And it is such a joy. It's a blessing. It is the beauty in these circumstances that are less than ideal. So, one thing that I have learned on this autism journey is the truth of the saying, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. We are each unique creations, yet we are all made in God's image. I've learned that the autism spectrum is a spectrum for a reason. Those who are part of it are even more unique and varied, and yet still individual masterpieces created by God in his image. Tristan and I are thriving today as autism advocates, showing the world through our lives. Well, it's definitely challenging. The autism spectrum is navigable, and there is so much joy on that journey. I want to end with Tristan's warrior words. And keep in mind, he's a man of few words unless he's info dumping. He says, "Don't treat me or anyone on the autism spectrum like a baby. I may have challenges, but I want to be treated like a normal-ish person." And with that, y'all, armor up, fight the good fight. Seek beauty and make your words warrior words. God bless.